I had to let the beat rock, and I was talking to Ak. I haven't seen Ak in a couple weeks. Glad Ak is feeling well, doing well. Legendary Rich Ackerman, update man here at The Fan. And Ak has done it all in radio. I was telling Ak, I think last month I heard him do the Mets postgame show on 880. And I was like, oh, what a pleasant surprise. Speaking of pleasant surprises, who is this? Misty McMichael, wife of Hall of Fame defensive tackle Steve McMichael? I thought she was coming out to sing the national anthem. Go on with your bad self. I was like, who is this? So the Hall of Fame game festivities have begun. Julius Peppers walking out. Where's Devin Hester? Football's back. We are talking about our favorite football movies. Call me up with your top football movies. I think I've hit seven and I've put my list together. We're obviously talking about the New York Yankees because this is New York and the Yankees are back just like football is back. So Yankee fans, I know there's a ton of Yankee fans that do not care about football. I think everybody cares about football, but specifically I know Yankee fans that they don't care about football. Once the Yankee season ends, they can't get into football like that. That's fine. I know a lot of Yankee fans are also Giants fans, and in about an hour, Bob Papa, the voice of the Giants, will join us. I know he's a big Yankees fan. Him and I go back and forth on Twitter during the Yankee games, and it's good vibes, it's good times. And I was just speaking about Austin Wells making MLB's Team of the Month and him being the catcher. I'm like, oh, I guess he's had the best month out of any catcher in Major League Baseball. Great. You're just seeing a lot of different stats and a lot of different things about his defense pop up. And obviously, you know, Cashman was on with BT and Sal yesterday, and he said, you know, he profiles as a hitter, and we knew that about him. And good to see that left-handed bat in the lineup, batting cleanup. It seems like now the Yankees have a lot of left-handed bats. They had Jazz Chisholm and Juan Soto and Alex Verdugo, and I tip my cap, Cashman. I didn't think you did enough at the deadline, but all in all, looking at the roster and the team, when you go from what you did in the winter and what you did at the deadline, I think we have enough to compete. And my message to Yankee fans is, why keep hating on the team if this is a team that can actually get it done? You know? Like, I'm done hating on Gleyber Torres. I'm done hating on DJ LeMahieu. I'm not even hating on Clay Holmes. I just think that we can do better than Clay Holmes. 888-808-1019. I think, you know, Clay is what he is. I'm not saying he's terrible. And I had a caller that was calling to defend Clay Holmes. So I'll assume that, you know, I took that call and he gave me the defense. I'm not bashing Clay Holmes. All I'm saying, like, you don't have to be a baseball savant to watch him go out there and blow saves and realize if this is a team with Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Jazz Chisholm, Austin Wells, Verdugo, Volpe, all of these guys that could potentially get us to the World Series, we will never live it down if we blow game four in the ninth inning behind Clay Holmes, who's done it all year. It'll be like we knew better. And you know what they say? If you knew better, you'd do better. 888-808-1019. I think they could literally do better with guys that they have. Nick Birdie comes back. I'm not expecting him to be a closer, but he could potentially move somebody else in the bullpen into that spot. Some people were calling for Michael Tonkin yesterday. I said, hey, why can't Mark Leiter Jr. be the guy? Swing and miss stuff. Let's see what Enyo De Los Santos looks like during this homestand coming up. He's going to have to shave that beard. It's part of it. He's probably already clean shaved. Luke Weaver has been good late in games. Why can't he be a ninth inning guy? I don't understand how you can have a guy leading the league in blown saves and you'd be committed to him being your closer. It doesn't make sense. Make it make sense to me. Same thing with Gleyber Torres. I was taking a lot of calls yesterday talking about the defensive replacement where DJ comes in and you take young Ben Rice out. Okay, I get it. He's a former catcher. He's a rookie. You take him out and you put DJ at first base. Then you end up giving DJ at bats. But also, Gleyber Torres leads the league in errors at his position. Maybe once you could take Gleyber out of the game and put DJ there. But of course, Gleyber made the play to save the game in Philly. It is what it is, man. We just got to ride with this team. The trade deadline is over. This is the squad. They'll have a couple guys come up. They'll have a couple guys come off of the IL. This is the team. They got to stay healthy. They got to hit. They got to compete. They got to stay confident. Now you see some swagger. Now you see some confidence. Now you see them celebrating each other, having fun. They don't look so miserable. They don't look so down. They don't look so defeated. Let's ride. Chris is in Queens. What's up, Chris? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call.
You
long
got it.
Long-time listener, but more so since you've been on. Very proud of you, young buck. Very proud.
Thank you.
You was right on point, everything you said. I was told to some colleagues of mine. I just want to know, do you know anything was going on with Rizzo? So we know all these guys coming back. Statton came back. But what's going on with Rizzo? What's the plan the Yankees have for him? Do you know?
He's hurt. He's working his way back, healing up. But, like, it wasn't like Rizzo was tearing the cover off the ball before he got hurt. And now, with the emergence of Ben Rice, I think I was premature to say that Ben Rice, while he pipped him, I think that was coming off the 3-homer game he had that Saturday against the Red Sox. He has struggled, but it isn't like there's a desperate want or need for Rizzo to come back because, you know, Ben Rice has been good enough, and now you have other guys in the lineup getting it done. I'll say this, because of his relationship with Judge, when he's healthy, he'll be back. And also, the same way they give DJ LeMahieu at bats, just because of his seniority and what he's done in his career, you can expect to see the same thing with Anthony Rizzo.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Keith. That's the only question I had. I'll keep listening. Thanks so much, my man. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. 888-808-1019. Yeah, the last article I saw, shout out to my guy Adam and Thomas over at Yankees Go Yard. It's Anthony Rizzo's fate with the Yankees after injury. Trade deadline remains very unclear. None of us really know. But, like, you can just kind of, I don't know, use critical thinking, draw a conclusion, like I just told you. Because of his relationship with the captain of the team and, like, his respect for what he's a World Series champion, Gold Glover, like his respect by the organization, he's going to get an opportunity to come back and be a part of it because this is it. This is it. You know, he's not going to be the Yankees' first baseman next year. He's done. So I expect Rizzo to come back. I don't think he'll be Wally Pipped by Ben Rice. I think I was listening to C-Mac's show last night, and we were talking about guys coming back and where they're going to fit Dominguez and where would Rizzo. Like, somebody's going to have to get sent down. Who are the candidates to get sent down? Ben Rice? Oswaldo Cabrera? Ron Marinaccio was here today, gone today, yesterday. They called him up, sent him right back down. So we'll see, man. These are good problems to have. These are good problems to have. Anthony Rizzo, we're not so, you know, desperate to get him back. Heal up, come back. And also what I'll say is injuries are going to happen. Guys are going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt. And then, you know, Rizzo being hurt is healed up and comes back. And it's something you don't want. It's something you can't predict. But having options when health becomes an issue is paramount. To have a Jason Dominguez waiting in the wings in case one of your outfielders goes down, great. We'll see what happens, but I'm not so worried about Anthony Rizzo because Ben Rice has been good. And I look at Ben Rice as the future at the position, a cost-effective future at the position. Let him keep learning. Let him struggle. Let him have at-bats. I mean, that kid's got a swing. When he gets a hold of one, it's gone. And that kid has a clutch gene. He has come up big in some clutch situations for the Yankees. And the Yankees have wasted it, but, like, the moment hasn't been too big for that young man. 888-808-1019. Joe is in Old Bridge, New Jersey. Joe, you are on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say before I start, you know, you always make really good points. You know, I tried to get in on the call yesterday, and I couldn't. I waited about an hour. Then I had to drop off. I had things to do. But you made a really, really good point yesterday, and I want to just recapitulate a little bit with that today. The point you made was that they bring in Chaz, right? All of a sudden, these guys get nervous, right? And they start to play. Here's the other thing. The same thing happened when they brought in Soto. There's nothing wrong with these people. There's nothing wrong with the Yankees. It's just that something is wrong with them that they can't produce, and it takes bringing in somebody like Chaz to stir them up.
Yes,
now,
sir.
That to me is crazy. I mean, these guys are getting paid. They got to be accountable. You can't do that. You can't always bring in a Chaz to stir them up.
Well, what it is guys get complacent. They get too comfortable. They take it for granted. Oh, I'm a New York Yankee. You know, Verdugo, Glaber. Like, even Trent Grisham was playing way more than he thought. It's like, Thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate you waiting yesterday. And I always, like, I see you guys' names pop up and then drop off, and I feel bad. I, like, want to get to you as quick as I can. I have my run of show and things I want to get to. We have breaks. We have a ton of calls. Man, I'm blessed that, like, there's never a time that I don't have calls. There's always calls. Thank you for calling back tonight, Joe. I'm glad that I have back-to-back shows. And I was talking about it last night. I said that first, like, that Saturday night, Jazz wasn't there yet. They had a 16% chance to win that game in the ninth inning. Trent Grisham, he had that at-bat. Like, this might be my last at-bat. They're bringing in a guy that plays my position and is better than me. A left-handed hitter that plays center field that they just gave up something for. I could be glued to the bench and not have another at-bat. I have to make it happen. Gleyber Torres, I think he was 0 for the whole game until that last at-bat breaks through. He's looking to the sky, thanking the heavens. Got it done. Listen, I use the analogy like this on Yankees Morning Brew. You know, playing football, I played quarterback. Only one quarterback can be on the field. My freshman year, I was fourth string. My sophomore year, I was third string. I'm looking, they're recruiting quarterbacks again. So it's like, your job is not guaranteed. You're the backup's backup, but you could fall down the depth chart again if they bring in another kid that's bigger than you, faster than you, stronger than you. Iron sharpens iron. And when you bring in a competitor, it makes competitors compete. If you're actually like that, if you're actually a pro, if you're actually a baller, you're going to raise your game. You're not going to fold. You're not going to lay down. You're not going to go, oh, well, Jazz Chisholm is here. You're like, no, I'm going to fight. And so I think that is something that had an immediate impact on the whole team. Here comes a player that they gave up three prospects for. Here comes a guy that can play three different positions, center field, second base, and third base, we've found out. Play up. Win. Take every out seriously. Every pitch of your at-bat seriously, because it's not promised for you to be in the lineup tomorrow. It's just not. Alex is out on Staten Island. What's up, Alex? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? First time caller. Love listening to you. I wanted to talk about Spencer Jones. You know, was Cashman reluctant to trade him at the deadline? Because we talk about outfielders. I mean, they have such a logjam of outfielders, you know? I mean, even if he's that great, where are we going to put him? You know, we have Soto, Judge, Dominguez.
I have been on this radio station for the last few weeks saying I'm not trading Dominguez or Spencer Jones just because we know Verdugo most likely isn't back next year and Juan Soto could go to Queens for $50 million more. So who's your outfield then? Thanks for the call, Alex. I'm sorry, fellas. Just trying to put a quick memo out there. This was happening last night. I feel like you guys are caught in a wind tunnel. You guys are caught with like a moving service. There's boxes falling. I mean, maybe my headphones are too loud in here, but I try to keep you guys on. I wish there was a way. I guess there is. I guess I would have to put you on hold. I wish there was a way for you guys to like call in, say what you got to say, me put you on hold to mute your background noise. There's just too many buttons to push. But try and get to a quieter place for all of us, because it's like people are listening. They're listening with AirPods in. As it gets later, people are in bed. It's like this stuff is like abrupt. You know, this is all theater of the mind. It's all like, I hear you guys call. I'm like, where could you be? Are you in traffic? Are you in trouble? Are you in, you know. Anyway, yeah, Spencer Jones, I wasn't trading. Spencer Jones is a guy that I look at as like, this guy has to learn from Aaron Judge. If you can get this guy to the major league level to see Judge and his process every single day, which we've heard a lot about Aaron Judge's process. Rizzo talked about it. Soto talked about it. Like, I want Spencer Jones to be right next to Aaron Judge. Because if he can be a left-handed, lesser version of Aaron Judge, great. That's an all-star. 888-808-1019. You feel me? Like, he's 6'7". He's got a power swing. He plays left field. Like, could you imagine the outfield being Spencer Jones, Jason Dominguez, Aaron Judge in right field? Of course we want Juan Soto to stay, but honestly, like, you don't know what's going to happen in free agency. You don't. Everybody can bid for him. And if what so many people say on this radio station is true, oh, he's a money guy, he's going to the highest bidder. Him and Scott Boras are going to take the most money they can get. And I do believe Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman are going to be in it, But I do think they're going to have a line. I don't think that they're going to do the back and forth. Like Yamamoto was like, he's taking a visit here. He's over here. Oh, it's this now. Yamamoto went from being a guy that was going to cost you a little bit over $200 million to being a $350 million guy. It's like, that. Like, no, we're not doing all that. There was a line. And with Juan Soto, sure. We want Juan Soto to finish his career in the Bronx. But let's say we lose him. Okay. You lose him. Judge goes back to right field. Dominguez is in center field. Spencer Jones is in left field. Do I know if Spencer Jones will be ready for that next year? No. But I'm not trading him for Jack Flaherty, who was getting injections into his lower back just a couple months ago. I'm not trading him for a rental when I feel like I can get through with Clark Schmidt coming back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. I get it. I get it. Let's see what Jack Flaherty does for the Dodgers. They always go for it. That's what they do. They'll give up prospects. And if you go and look, I was doing this last night. Let me go back and look at the trade deadline tracker. The prospects that the Dodgers gave up for Flaherty, there is a 0% chance. That's why Brian Cashman was talking about we couldn't match up on value. They probably went back. The Tigers scouted the Yankees. They went back to Brian Cashman. And they said, we like these guys. And he wasn't budging on those guys. The Dodgers ended up giving up, I think, three of their top 15 prospects. That the Yankees weren't doing that. There's no way. There's a 0% chance. Yeah, let's see. The Dodgers gave up their number 8 and number 22 prospects. I don't think the Yankees were doing that. Trey Sweeney, who's drafted by the Yankees. And I'm okay with that. I'm over the deadline. Because I know Brian Cashman at this point. He's not going to get fleeced. He's not going to be finessed. You're doing business with Brian Cashman. You do as he says. He's not going to do as you say. All right. Now we got some football calls. 888-808-1019. Josh is in the Bronx. Josh, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, Keith, I want to change it up a little bit and give you a couple movies. North Dallas 40 with Nick Nolte and The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds.
The Longest Yard is a great one.
Yeah.
North Dallas 40. I got to look these up. North Dallas 40. The Longest Yard, I think everybody knows, and then they obviously remade it.
Yeah, right. It's like North Dallas 40 is like, you know, you can take it or leave it, but I don't know. It just popped into my head. I thought you might get a kick out of it.
I might. I'll look it up. Thanks for the call, Josh. Man, I'm watching this game. The Texans are moving the ball. They're already inside the 20. Watching the kickoff, what at least ESPN did, which is good, they had a green highlighter marked around the goal line to the 20-yard line, basically to show you, hey, that ball lands in there, they got to return it. I don't think this is going to be a bad thing. It's just different. It's like when everybody came together, it was just like a quick line of, like, you know, guys throwing blocks. Like I said, there's no more lanes. There's no more seals. There's no more return right, return left, return middle. It's like, we're going to see some returns this year. It's going to be guys just kind of making one guy miss and going straight down the field. Interesting. All right, we'll continue with the best football movies, you know, football movie list conversation. Connor is in Rutherford. Connor, you're up next.
What's up, boss? I got two dark horses for you.
Okay.
Wildcats with Goldie Hawn, Wesley Snipes, and Woody Harrelson.
I don't know if I know that one.
Oh, great 80s movie.
I'll look it up. Wildcat.
And The Last Boy Scout with Bruce Willis.
I don't know that one either.
Oh.
I'm not too much of a movie guy. I think it's Richard and Queens is always like, you should watch some movies. I'm like, I don't have time. But now I have a whole list.
Wildcats is fantastic. Wildcats is fantastic. It's Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes when they're like kids.
I gotta Google it during this break and check it out. Thanks for the call, Connor. 888-808-1019. I mean, I know like 90s movies. I know 2000s movies. I wasn't alive for these 80s movies. But I'll look them up and watch them, especially if they're football movies. I don't watch movies, but I would be more inclined to watch sports movies. It is now 7-0 Texans in the Hall of Fame game. Opening drive. They drive down. They punch it in. They score. Houston Texans this year, I think they're going to be pretty decent. With the addition of Stephon Diggs, Joe Mixon, and C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryan's their second year. You already saw what Nico Collins did last year. Dalton Schultz, that defense, They got Danielle Hunter on that defense with Will Anderson. We'll talk football a little bit. We'll talk baseball a little bit. We're doing all of it. Yankees talk. I do see a Mets call. We'll continue with the football movies list and everything else, man. I've got plenty of time. This is a 5-hour KM to AM. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. I'm back. The Yankees are back. Football's back. And we're back to the month of August. I heard Evan say that Ryan Rucco came up with the phrase that August is the Sunday of summer. I don't think Rucco came up with that. He might have said it on a broadcast, but I don't think we can give Rooks that credit. I actually got to text Rucco. I'm like, yo, did you? I know you didn't make it up. I know you didn't make that up. All right. Right back at it. 888-808-1019. We've been talking about the Yankees, of course. Everything from Austin Wells making MLB's team of the month for July. What's going to happen with Anthony Rizzo when he comes back? Clay Holmes and him being the leader in blown saves in Major League Baseball. But yet the Yankees, the captain, the general manager, the manager all saying Clay is our guy. And every time Clay goes out there, I say, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. My boy Rami came in the other night. He's like, them telling us that Clay is our closer is like when you say, don't piss on my head and tell me it's raining. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing again. They're telling us, oh, Clay is one of the best. Clay's got nasty stuff. Yeah, we know. We know. It can be two kinds of nasty. It can be strike you out nasty, make a guy chase a pitch nasty, freeze a guy nasty. And it can be nasty where, like, Heston Kerstad just got demoted to the minors. Yeah, you know Heston Kerstad, right? That Friday night game in Camden Yards, Clay Holmes in the rain, hit him with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball in the head. Yeah, unfortunately, that young man hasn't been right since. And they optioned him. Clay Holmes will throw a wild pitch when you absolutely don't need it. So, like I said, I'm not hating on my team. Like, I don't want to hate on the Yankees players anymore. I root for the laundry. But until they make a decision that Clay Holmes doesn't, like, Clay Holmes does not, we don't have to be, like, no. No, you'll bench Gleyber Torres. You'll change the lineup. You'll do all these different things. Why do you have to be stuck with Clay Holmes as the closer? There's no contract binding him. And there's really not enough prior history to say he's the guy. Like, any of those guys can get those last three outs. And I think there's a handful of guys that could get those three outs without making us all go on the cardiac Clay roller coaster. Do you have shortness of breath and trouble breathing every time 35 goes on the mound to close the game? I do. I don't want to. 888-808-1019. Back to the conversation we were having around these football movies. Now people are tweeting at me their football movies. I won't say them in case someone on hold has the same movie. And then if they do, then I'll give you guys a shout out at Keith_McPherson on X on Twitter. It's not really X. It's Twitter forever. But Elon Musk ruined the place and made it X.com. Danny is in Queens next up on the Fan. What's up, Danny?
Keith, what's up, my brother? I'm super pumped for the Yankees, as you already know. Thank God for our Jazz Chisholm in the building. That's what we needed. We needed somebody with the electricity that can transcend through the rest of the clubhouse. So I'm super pumped about that. But to give you the two movies that I had in mind, as we're talking about, you know, good vibe, NFL feel-good movies, I had my All-American, which I'm not sure if you peeped that yet or if you have that already on your top seven.
Isn't All-American a TV series?
No. It's called My All-American. My All-American is called. The film is called My All-American. You got to look this up. It is a powerful film. It is based on a true story, and I'm all about true story films. So I got another true story film, which is The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock in that film about Michael Orr.
The Blind Side.
Blind Side, yeah.
That's another good one.
Right there. Yeah, those two films. But check out My All American. You're gonna really embrace that film. It's also, again, it's based on a true story. Very powerful film.
I would recommend it to anybody that's listening on in right now. It is a great film. And again, man, keep up the good work. I'm super pumped for the Yanks. Can't wait for tomorrow where we welcome Toronto here at the Bronx. And super pumped, man. I'm just so super happy that I think that Yankees are definitely going to turn around this season, and we're going to go straight to where we belong, where we haven't been for the last 15 years. So,
thanks for the call, Denny. I'm right there with you. I'm pumped for Jazz. I'm pumped for the energy that he brings. Like, you know, I think when you bring up like a Ben Rice and you see a kid getting his opportunity to play, that helps the team. But like when you see a player literally get out of jail in Miami, being locked in the basement of baseball in Miami, and then come to the penthouse that is New York and the New York Yankees, and he's smiling ear to ear. He's talking about, we're trying to get to the playoffs. We're trying to win 28. He knows. Everybody knows the mission statement. And when he goes out there and performs right away, it's like, okay, high tide raises all ships. Iron sharpens iron. Great. Onward. Push forward now. The Yankees have more than enough to get to where they got to go this year. And like Danny said, it's a place they haven't been in 15 years. Why can't this be the year? Like, why can't this be the year? As I look at this American League, no one scares me. I know some of you are scared of the Houston Astros. I am not. And here we are, Cleveland, handling business. Appreciate them. But not for nothing, Cleveland wins tonight. They have more wins than the Yankees. Bottom of the seventh, Cleveland leads Baltimore 7-2. And Cleveland has Emmanuel Clase to close out games. So they don't worry like we worry. Emmanuel Clase is up there with the amount of saves in Major League Baseball. And when you watch the All-Star game, it was between Emmanuel Clase and Clay Holmes to end that game, and Bruce Bochy didn't think twice about it. He's like, yeah, there's only one option here. Clay Holmes not getting in this game. John is in Oxford, Connecticut. What's up, John? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking the call. On the football movie, on the original Longest Yard, I love it. It's a great movie. But, you know, that movie offers an interesting tidbit into the sports world we're in. Well, maybe not now, but we're where we were in 20 years ago. I'll tell you why. In that movie, Paul Crewe, Burt Reynolds' character, is looking to get an edge. And caretaker, his guy in the movie, comes to him. Now, this is an early 70s movie. And caretaker comes to him and he says, I can get you whatever you want. I can get you cocaine. I can get you greenies. Now, here's the comment. I can get you steroids. I can get you steroids in the early 70s. Now, here's the thing. This is where this bounces. Is everybody made such a big stink about steroids. Like, nobody used steroids until Jose Canseco or Barry Bonds or whoever you want to name. These guys were doing that crap. If it gets mentioned in a 74 movie, I'll tell you right now, they were saying the Germans were doing this stuff back in the 50s. Professional athletes have been looking for an edge forever. And when I hear Catfish Hunter get on his high horse, I mean, somebody's got to take him off that horse, because that guy, between the greenies and the steroids that were going on in that guy's locker room, steroids have been around in sports until it pissed off Congress with Barry Bonds.
Thanks for the call, John. Yeah, let's bring the steroids back. Let Judge do some steroids. He's going to hit 1,000 homers. That's cool. 888-808-1019. The Longest Yard. The old movie, I faintly remember seeing a little bit of it, but obviously I know the Burt, not the Burt Reynolds one, the Adam Sandler one. And shout out to Nick Totoro, who's in that movie. I should hit up Nick. I could text Nick, huge Yankee fan. I should have Nick come on and talk about Clay Holmes and what he thinks about Clay Holmes just permanently being the Yankees closer for the rest of the season. Why? 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 Let's go to Red Bank and talk to Matt. The Mets have a closer in Edwin Diaz, and the parallel I've been making is, hey, Edwin Diaz got paid $102 million to be the closer. He came back, he struggled, and they said, you're not the closer. We're going to put you in a softer landing spot. We're going to put you on the IL, and then you can be the closer. They weren't locked in to making this guy their closer, even though they were paying him all that much money.
That's our guy.
He's pretty good.
We love him.
He's pretty good.
I just wanted to talk about what you might think the Mets do when Starlin Marte comes back. And just to throw a thought out there, if Marte doesn't come back, What if we replaced Ben Gamble's slot with Luis Daniel Acuña? He doesn't have to start, but he can be in that locker room with JD and Lindor and just be a guy that's a base threat stealer. You know what I mean? A guy that steals bases, make pitchers think.
Is he balling like that? Is he balling like that where you think you're going to see him this year? Like he could help this team this year?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think he can help the team this year by filling in on defense when he's needed, but specifically there just to steal bases and take things in from just get major league experience.
He plays second base primarily?
Right.
You have Jose Iglesias and Jeff McNeil, and you definitely don't need him in the outfield talking about Starling Marte coming back. You just added Jesse Winker on top of Brandon Nimmo, Harrison Bader, Tyrone Taylor.
I agree. Well, that's why I'm curious when Marte comes back, where's his spot going to be? Is it going to be a rotation?
Should be right field.
Unless there's a lefty pitching, I don't see a spot for him anymore. I like Winker.
It depends what version. Starling Marte, I mean, it depends on what version of Starling Marte you get. The guy's just always hurt. He came into the season talking about, I feel like I could play 170 games. You knew that wasn't going to happen.
A guy like Acuña coming up, just specifically there to play a role, steal bases, put pressure on pitchers, come up in a big spot. I mean, I think, what do you think about that?
I just think that they have more than enough guys. I think he's young. I don't think that they're in a rush to call him up. Maybe you see him at the end of the year, September call-ups, if the Mets are out of it. Thanks for the call, Matt. I don't think that they're wanting for much. We just went through a deadline where David Stearns didn't give up prospects. He had a hard line at 16. He didn't give up a prospect higher than 16. It was a 17th-ranked prospect and lower that he was willing to deal to add pieces to this puzzle. He made like 6 transactions, gave you Jesse Winker for the outfield, Paul Blackburn for the rotation, and from Phil Maton to Ryan Stanek to a bunch of random arms for the bullpen, it's a completely different bullpen now. They've got enough hitters. They've got enough fielders. I don't think they're looking for Acuña Jr. to come up and save the day. I don't see a spot for him unless someone gets hurt. And even if someone gets hurt, they have a good enough bench. 888-808-1019. I don't think they're looking for young guys. I think they're looking for this core, this group, to battle and get as far as they can this year. And it's going to be a battle. But like I said, maybe you see Acuña Jr., maybe you see some of these prospects in late September. If it's just like, oh, the math isn't mathing, and we're 5 games out of the wild card, and I mean, we could do that really quick. If you look, what a difference, that's why I say we take this day by day, game by game, series by series, month to month. It is hard not to be rash. It is hard not to make any ridiculous proclamations, quit on the team, or proclaim the team as a World Series champion. But so much changes in baseball. You gotta love baseball for that, because it is unpredictable. It is a winding road and an up and down roller coaster. But when you look at the wild card right now, when you look at the National League wild card right now, the Mets are on the outside looking in by a half game. This time last week, coming off of sweeping the Yankees, everyone was like, oh, we're about to sweep the Braves. I was saying, take 3 out of 4 from the Braves. Carry that momentum into the Braves series. Solidify your wild card spot. Knock them off and be where they are. No, didn't happen. And then when you look at the trade deadline and, the moves that Atlanta didn't really have a crazy trade deadline, but they brought Jorge Soler back. San Diego completely went for it. They're there. The Diamondbacks went for it as well. The Cardinals went for it as well. The Pirates added some pieces. So you're looking at those teams that are all around the Mets. It is going to be a battle. There are about 6 teams right now between the Braves, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, the Mets, the Cardinals, and the Pirates lobbying for those 3 wild card spots. It's not a guarantee for any of them. 888-808-1019. It's going to be a fun watch this month of August, the dog days. Don't let the dog days get you. It's going to be hot. You got that summertime sadness. The Sunday is summer. I got to text Ruco and see if he came up with that. And I got to hit Nick Totoro to see if he'll join us to talk about Clay Holmes. Bob Papa is coming up in about a half an hour less. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. We got to take another break. We're talking football movies. We're watching the Hall of Fame game. Of course, we're talking about the New York Yankees and your New York Mets. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this. Oh, yes. You're now rocking with the best. Keith McPherson on the stand. KM AM. You know what we do. It's a five-hour sports talk show. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019 right here in New York City. I got eyes on that Baltimore versus Cleveland game, and it's not a game anymore. It's over. It's a wrap. Bo Naylor just hit a three-run bomb, and the great Sweeney Murdy used to say, three-run homers win ball games. The ball game was over. It is now 10-3 at Progressive Field, and I'm starting to look at the Cleveland Guardians like a team of destiny. I'm starting to look at the Cleveland Guardians like, as much as we disrespect the AL Central, as much as we look at the Guardians like, poverty can't beat us. I mean, just 2 years ago, they gave us a run for our money, a five-game ALDS. They can hit, they can pitch, they have a closer. They are absolutely demolishing the Orioles right now in their building. The Guardians may be the team that the Yankees have to defeat to get to where they want to go this year. 888-808-1019. I did send some texts out like I said I would. And I'm talking to Ryan Rucco right now, and he credits his mom. His mom actually said that July is the Saturday of summer and August is the Sunday of summer. But I feel like that phrase has been around for a long time. I feel like a lot of people have used it before. And he said he first shared it with the audience when he used to fill in on Mike and Mike, Greeny and Golic. And he says now he always mentions it on social every year. And I give him the credit. I didn't know where that came from him. Honestly, I've used the phrase. I heard Evan Roberts give him the credit. And I'm like, I feel like that's more popular. I feel like that's like a national thing. I don't know. So credit to the Rucos and Ryan Rucco. Shout out to Rucco. Super solid. I mean, Fordham guy, Yankee guy, Brooklyn Nets guy, Yes Network guy. And when I was grinding doing the Talking Nets podcast, he was one of the first guests that I had on my show. And he didn't have to do it. It was during the pandemic, I believe. And he just did it to show love, show support. And I always look forward to running into Rucco. He's got an amazing career. We're like the same age. His career and what he's done triples and quadruples mine. And shout out to him for texting me back while I'm live on air. I did reach out to Nick Totoro as we're talking about the longest yard and we're going through our favorite football movies. Let's take another call on that. Dwight's down in Asbury Park, Dark City, 07712.
I got three movies for you. The Replacements, Brian Song, and Newt Rockne.
Yeah.
1940s. Crazy old school.
Yeah, The Replacements, Brian Song, and what was the last one?
Newt Rockne, All-American.
Newt Rockne. Oh, okay. Yeah. Good call. I obviously know The Replacements. Brian Song I know of, but I can't recall ever watching it, but I know the storyline and premise. Newt Rockne I'll have to check out. Dwight, you're the man. Thanks for the call, bro. I still got to come down there and check you out at the White Castle on 35. I still got to figure out one night. Maybe. I know I'll be down there soon. One night to pull up, because, I mean, you only go to the White Castle over there on the late night. I got to pop up on Dwight next time I'm in the Shore area. 888-808-1019. So we're still going through these movies, man. Now we have a bunch of them. And I said, once people say them on air, I'd give credit to people on Twitter. So shout out to Joe Karf, at Joe Karf on Twitter. He said, The Replacements was a great football movie. And I'm like, yeah, Keanu Reeves, right. Right. Also, Brian Song, my guy Lou Goodman on Twitter, mentioned Brian Song. And at first, I'm like, he's like, Brian Song, a tearjerker. I'm like, not sure I know that one. And then he explained it to me. 1971 TV movie, true story of Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo of the Chicago Bears. First black-white roommates in NFL history. Very sad, very wonderful. I'm like, I do know that story. I do know that story. I have to go back and watch that one. So now I have a whole list. Now I have a whole list of, I'll never have the time to actually watch these movies. But maybe you will. Maybe you will tonight. Maybe you'll turn off KM to AM and you're like, I gotta go watch Newt Rockne. What other movies were mentioned out there? Tom Cruise, All the Right Moves. Jerry Fairman says Tom Cruise, All the Right Moves. I think we all know that famous scene. What's that? Take those old records off the shelf. Where he slides out. But I didn't put together that that was a football movie. I guess I'm not old enough to know. But he says Tom Cruise plays a hard-hitting high school defensive back trying to get a scholarship to college. I'm like, man, I got to go back and watch that. And I hit him. I'm like, this movie? Because you can, in Twitter, go to the GIFs, search Tom Cruise, and it comes up with him sliding out. That's such an iconic movie scene. Even if you didn't see the movie, that's been imitated and redone so many times. 888-808-1019. So now I've got The Junction Boys, Varsity Blues, Friday Night Lights, Any Given Sunday, The Program, Remember the Titans, Little Giants, North Dallas 40, The Longest Yard, Burt Reynolds, and Adam Sandler versions, trying to get Nick Turturro on the phone. Wildcats, The Last Boy Scout, My All-American, The Blind Side, The Replacements, Brian Song, and Newt Rockne. We've got a top 16 for football movies already. And, you know, speaking of football, with football being back, and me earlier talking about how everything is catered towards offense, we're just freshly into the second quarter. It's 10-7 Texans over the Bears. Neither team is struggling to move the ball. Now, that could be because of the rules, but that also can be because the defenses are not ready and the offenses just have the upper hand and you're watching backups. I mean, Davis Mills has looked great so far. Take what you can from it. If you're watching it right now, here comes another kickoff. Let's watch this together. New kickoff. This new kickoff is interesting because one miss, one good move, and it's going to be a house call. We're going to see a lot more. Oh, he fell down. You can't do that. We're going to see a lot more kickoffs returned for touchdowns to open games, to open halves. You got to have a good returner. That's why, like, you know, Tariq Cohen retired today. And I'm like, I thought he could be an option there for the Jets. And Cordarrelle Patterson, I think, signed with the Steelers. The Steelers have just been Royal Rumble every day. All I see coming out of Steelers camp is MMA fighting. They're practicing for UFC. They're not practicing for the NFL. They're just fights and fights and fights. But yeah, with this new kickoff rule, with the kicking team and the receiving team lining up right next to each other, it's just it eliminates the whole rundown, knock your head off. But it's like you try to line up a guy and get pads on pads. All it's going to take is one miss, one move, and it's just going to be a straight shot to the end zone. Looking forward to it. It's such a radical change in the NFL. I know it's going to have an immediate impact. 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. Coming up next, Bob Papa, the voice of the Giants. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.